Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Big news this morning. You know, I filled in on the Dan Patrick show, so we're getting ready for the show, and boom! They break the news that A.B. Antonio Brown was having a workout for the Saints. Some people right away, oh, I can't believe the Saints are going to do this. Why would they interrupt their program and get this guy back involved? People had their panties in a bunch all worked up. He don't deserve another chance. I'm just tired of Antonio Brown. Sorry. Yeah. Guess what? Talent wins out.
Talent is always going to win out. But I kind of feel it in a certain way. I'm not saying that he shouldn't get another chance, but you got to pose the question, how many more chances will this guy get?
He'll get as many until he can't play anymore. Let me tell you this, and I'll let you. The NFL's filled with guys, coaches too, second, third chances, did bad stuff. Players did bad stuff. Owners did bad stuff. The league is filled with people like that. And all I'm saying is, you can't sit there and go, first of all, he hadn't broken any laws yet. Civil lawsuits, man, those don't count. They really don't. Anybody could file a lawsuit against you. So just be careful about counting the civil lawsuits. When it's a criminal activity, you get arrested or whatever. Okay, now I got it. Okay. This is number two, he's strange. He does a lot of stuff. You wonder about where his head is, but the guy is a damn good football player. He had 6 years in Pittsburgh as a receiver, probably better than any other receiver we've ever seen, those 6 years.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, you also have to look at the attention that comes along with that and the circus that's going to come along with AB. And then, quite honestly, you just mentioned that you wonder where his head is. You don't know when that may trigger. Everything may be all good. I mean, just think when he signed with the Raiders. He was out in Oakland, you know, catching passes in Derek Carr's backyard, and they were bonding, having slumber parties and stuff. And then training camp rolls around. He freezes his feet, and then he complains about the helmet. And he gets out of there. He ends up in New England, and then it was just, you know, the off-the-field stuff, which I thought was kind of hypocritical about the New England Patriots, because you have an owner who was dealing with his own off-the-field issues and had a nerve to comment on AB stuff.
This is what I'm saying.
But
like this,
my thing is, like, normally, typically, after the Patriots, that's like last chance you, because everyone feels like if Bill Belichick can't turn you around and can't straighten you up and you're not going to fall in line the way that other players that play for the Patriots do, then no one can do it. And so, I mean, because you think about it, when Randy Moss got there, Randy Moss was troubled. He didn't have a great tenure the Raiders.
No, the way he parted with the Raiders was bad.
Exactly.
No, there's no doubt. So, and then he had a great year.
He had a great year in New England.
And then he wore out his welcome as well in New England. Don't forget, it didn't end great.
Yeah, it didn't end great, but, I mean, he didn't arrive. You know, I mean, even the honeymoon period was a little shaky because they didn't know which Randy Moss they were going to get, the Raiders Randy Moss or the Vikings Randy Moss.
But without risk, there is no reward. And I think this is where New England, New Orleans is going, is, and now that they kicked the tires, I guarantee you other teams will kick the tires with Antonio Brown.
I don't know. I truly believe that. I mean, you just think of the notion of Michael Thomas and Antonio Brown being your 1-2 or 1-1A wide receiver combo going into the playoffs. Like, I mean, come on. And you have Drew Brees, who seems to be in a
Drew Brees would be salivating like there's a big
absolutely
filet mignon on his plate.
Absolutely. But I totally believe that this whole workout was just a test to see the type of attention that AB would bring to the Bayou. And if the Saints think it's worth putting up with this to make a Super Bowl run, knowing that Drew Brees' window is closing.
Okay, great point. And here's the other part. I always say this, Telly. Anybody can win one. And what I mean by that is the stars can align. You know what I mean? You get off to a hot streak. Your team's really not that good. You could win one championship. Yes. What separates you is when you win multiple. Then as far as legacy, and I know Drew Brees wants another one. I know Sean Payton wants another one. If you ever listen to Tom Izzo, the Michigan State basketball coach, he says it openly. Got to win another one. He's won one. He's already in the Hall of Fame, but he knows.
Yeah.
There's a lot of coaches who have won one championship.
Yeah.
But when you win multiple.
When you win multiple, yeah, that puts you in another stratosphere. Yes,
it's about you.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you.
And I mean, but at what cost? Like, I mean.
The cost is always if he acts up, you get rid of him. But it's worth the risk because he's such a great receiver.
And I think also, too, that it's
the
final
Patriots
game of the season, and you're going into the playoffs. So you don't even have to have him in your organization for more than, what, a month and a half now?
If it's even that. I think they said.
Like a month. I mean, because if you make it to the Super Bowl,
right. It's
the first weekend in February.
Right. Here we are last weekend in December.
Right. So basically.
But they said signing's not imminent. So, and then you
what are you going to wait for?
Let's hear that sound, Vince. What we got? Here we go. Here's a Sean Payton.
We had six guys in today, really. Six receivers that we worked out. A few of them are practice squad eligible. A few of them are veteran players. We worked them out, gave them physicals, mainly doing our due diligence on all of those players. Obviously, there's a little bit more attention drawn to him because of his career. Right now, it was more or less us having a chance to get to know these guys and seeing what kind of shape they're all in.
See, there you go. So it's not like it's a done deal or anything, but just the idea, seriously, that they would bring him in. They could have brought in the other five guys, not have any attention brought to them. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right.
Especially but going into the playoffs.
But, Rob, why now? AB just didn't become available this week or last week. He's been available all season. So you got to look at the timing behind it as well.
No,
Once again, if we take a risk on this guy and he has one slip up, he's out of here.
Or he comes and balls out.
Absolutely.
And we win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I mean, will people, like, how will he be embraced? Like, that's the one thing
when
I think.
When he's on your team, fans like him. I really do. I think a lot of people dislike him for the off the field, all the other stuff. But if you're just talking about your team, is your team better or worse with him? I'm talking about his play on the field. There's no question.
Absolutely.
Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
Ask Pittsburgh.
Yes, absolutely.
You think they want his talent back?
I mean, but it's a reason why he's potentially about to join his third team in one NFL season. There's no other wide receiver, no matter how volatile, or any player that has done that. I mean, he started off catching passes from Derek Carr. Then he catches a touchdown pass in the one game he played with from Tom Brady and the Patriots. And now he can end up making a playoff run with Drew Brees and the Saints. Where'd they do that at? And like, who does that happen to? That doesn't happen to anybody. I mean, and you could go back to, and wide receiver position is probably the position that has had the most volatile players of pretty much any position. I mean, you go back to T.O., I mean, Keyshawn Johnson, I mean, so on and so forth.
It's
play
that
position. For him to be able to do that, I mean, hey, like you said, talent wins.
Talent always wins out. They make chances. Ray Rice never played again, right? We saw the video, hit his wife. Just a horrific video, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't he play again?
I mean, because
it wasn't morals, because nobody thought he could play anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
His number. Joe Mixon got drafted after he knocked that woman out.
Oh, he cold-cocked her.
Cold-cocked her in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And everybody saw it, and he still got drafted.
Yeah, that was
a disturbing video.
Yes, yes. But
Greg Hardy was convicted. in a court of law for domestic violence, I think, with his girlfriend. He got picked up by the Cowboys. We could go on and on and on, and I'm not trying to make an excuse. All I'm saying is, are you putting together a boys' choir or a football team? Which one is it?
Okay, so, and I agree. I mean, because, you know, you can't have a bunch of choir boys as your football players. I mean, football players are football players. They're wired differently. And
you got to be wired differently to play that game. You know that.
Yes, absolutely. But, I mean, it's really tough. I mean, because you can pick any team. And you put AB on it, and you'll think you'll have the best 1-2 or best wide receiver core in the league. But once again, you don't know which AB is going to show up. Because if he had a problem with Derek Carr and thinking, like, gosh, he's not as good as I thought he was going to be, get me out of here, and you end up with Tom Brady, and you can't make it all work. And keep in mind, all of this off-the-field stuff just came out. So before now, people didn't have any reason to dislike him outside of, you know, him kind of quitting on his team in the final week when he was a Steeler.
And the time when he did the Facebook Live, you remember?
During the post game.
Right,
yeah.
with a coach in the locker
coach,
room. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's always made questionable, you know, choices and things. And, you know, that's when some of the stories in Pittsburgh started to come out after he left that, you know, once he got paid, he changed. And, you know, he wasn't the same guy that came in as a, you know, what was he, a sixth-round pick out of Central Michigan?
Yep.
And no one knew him, and he worked to get to where he got.
But you always know, once you got that long money, nobody could tell you anything.
Hey, man,
you know that?
I've seen a lot of people change.
Big time.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. So Kawhi Leonard was named the Associated Press Male Athlete of the Year. Some piece pull or push him back. I love the selection. I love it from this standpoint.
Okay.
He went to an organization that was winning a lot of games. You remember that. The Raptors were winning 55, 60 games.
Yeah.
But they kept getting knocked out in the playoffs. They couldn't beat LeBron. They couldn't, right? They couldn't get there. So they take a chance on trading for Kawhi, knowing that he could bounce after 1 year, right? And they gave up players
for him. And
they
knew he would.
Right? That the chance of him staying up in NBA Siberia, I call Toronto that, not because it's not a great place, but it's in Canada, right?
Yeah, it's Canada's team, though. You have a whole country behind
it. They used to have the Grizzlies used to be up there.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
But anyway, he goes to a team that can't get over the hump. And what does he do? He wins a championship for that team. And I say, I know the other players were there and they did as well. They played well. But he was the missing piece that they finally got. And they got him a championship. In the game 7 against Philadelphia, he makes the shot from the corner. What a great shot that was. And not just the shot itself, but the camera shot, an angle of him hoping, wishing, and praying that thing bounces in. And it does to win. And I think Chris Broussard told me no 7-game playoff has ever ended like that in the NBA. That was the first time, like, with a shot right there at the buzzer at a game 7. And it was one of those iconic moments that you'll never forget. It just was. Then don't forget, that took them to the conference finals. And what happened? Giannis was running through everybody, won the first 2 games of that series. Then they put Kawhi Leonard on him, changed defensively, and the Raptors won the next 4.
Now
I'm not saying totally, but they,
yeah, I was about to say
not totally,
because I mean,
and you know, you watched it closely
because if you know that was the only adjustment they made, why did it take 2 games for them to get blown out for them to finally decide?
But
it might be a good idea to put Kawhi on Giannis.
But Kawhi did go on Giannis, and things changed. Their fortunes changed. Okay, so they win a championship in big fashion. I can't think of anybody else in America, sports America, that deserves the Player of the Year more than what Kawhi was able to do for the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all valid points. I mean, but you also have to look at the other side of it, too. I mean, the Raptors were a pretty good team in the 20-something-odd games that Kawhi took off, you know, because he may
here
not
you
have,
go with the low
him,
management.
Him and Uncle Dennis felt like, you know, a Tuesday night in February would affect how he played in June. But and because it worked, now the Clippers are following suit. I mean, what he was able to do was phenomenal, and he did have a good year. And the reason why it's so hard to, you know, say someone else is more deserving is because there's no one else that really accomplished what he was able to accomplish. Now,
think about the Super Bowl and Tom Brady. Tom Brady, no touchdowns, one pick, one fumble. So you can't, even though the Patriots won the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
In February of 2019, And they gave the MVP to Edelman, yeah, who had no touchdowns. A receiver wins the Super Bowl MVP and had no touchdowns.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
Yeah, and you can, I mean, you go to baseball and you look at what, you know, Anthony Rendon was able to do in helping the Nationals win a championship. I mean, who ever thought, you know, the Nationals would be the World Series champions?
Maybe Strasburg was 5-0 in the postseason.
Yeah.
He could have maybe got it. Okay,
yeah,
there's another guy.
I mean, you know, you have guys that have done, you know, spectacular things to help their teams reach a world championship in their respective sports. I mean, but you also look at individually, and I mean, maybe I'm a little biased because I saw Giannis when he first arrived in America as an 18-year-old scrawny kid from Greece who could barely speak English to the beast he is now, and an MVP and potentially a two-time MVP at the rate he's going. You know, so I mean, there's a lot of guys that elevated their play, but what Kawhi was able to do for Canada and to bring a finals championship, a world championship to the Toronto Raptors, like you said, a team that, you know, was just always, you know, the bridesmaid. And I mean, even after firing, you know, Dwayne Casey, after they were the number one seed and won 60 games, to getting rid of DeMar DeRozan, the guy that was Mr. Raptor basically for the last 10 years, and you take a flyer on Kawhi and you don't even know if he was going to even show up. You know, a lot of people didn't even know that. They were always wondering, like, well, how long is he going to stay?
And exactly.
I mean, what he was able to do, I mean, it's just hard for me to go back to my point yesterday, call Kawhi the best player in basketball when he's not available every night. It's just hard for me to say that. And he's a guy that's allegedly the best player in basketball, but he's not even in the MVP talks. When you talk about NBA MVPs right now, it's Giannis, Harden, and Doncic. You don't ever hear Kawhi. And a lot of that has to do with him taking nights off.
It's not about whether or not he's a good player. Some people consider him the best player in the league, but I get it. He does get demerits or get knocked off.
Absolutely.
Because of the missed games, and I do get that, because if you miss 20-some-odd games, that's a lot.
That's a lot
out of
an
82
games. That's a quarter of the season. And you're not hurt. It's all preventative. That's all this is. Like, you're resting him, you know. And I wonder how that works. I believe.
Guess who was second in the voting?
Who?
Lamar Jackson. But see, he's had an unbelievable.
Gosh.
He was second.
That's
and
tough.
And third was Patrick Mahomes. Those were the three people.
Wow.
So it tells you got to be a little hard-pressed as to, I don't know how you could not give it to a guy who won a championship for a franchise that had never won.
Yeah, yeah. And
Lamar is just too premature, right? I mean,
very much so. And, I mean, with Patrick Mahomes, I mean, like, you come out and have a 50-touchdown season, like, you can only go down from there.
Absolutely. Me and Chris had a bet this year that he wouldn't get 40. I told Chris.
Yeah.
And I know he got hurt and missed a couple games, but it's hard to do that. It just is.
Yeah. And I mean, once again, you know, Lamar hasn't won anything yet. So it's tough to, I mean, as exciting as he is and the records he's broken.
I get all that.
And things
right.
like that. Yeah, you just, I mean, it's all about hardware. And I mean, and how you help propel your team to reach that plateau.
No doubt about it. I just wonder, will most people – I would be interested to hear what other people are saying about other people, because when I hear that list, those three guys, I'm unmoved. I mean, the other two don't – they just don't move me. Are we missing – other male athletes
maybe
who should
we're not
be?
Thinking about it. Yeah, I'm, come on, America. Who do you think?
Yeah.
Who would you pick other than Kawhi Leonard to be the AP Male Athlete of the Year? They definitely got it right with the AP Female Athlete of the Year. You know who that was, right?
Simone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Who solidified herself as probably the greatest gymnast to ever live. But, you know, on the male side, it could be debatable. I mean, I think, you know, you have to consider load management, but maybe we're overlooking someone or some people, you know, that may be more deserving or could be put in the conversation. So,
Steve, what is the what's the voting process by the AP for the award? Do they say how it was done?
I know when I worked at a station that was an AP affiliate, we used to get something over a wire that we could then send back in. Our editor could send in and count as our vote.
Okay, so they get votes from writers and broadcasters in AP.
That's correct. And national. Okay. And, of course, when you mentioned Kawhi Leonard with a team that hadn't done it before, had a great run, I'm glad you brought up Steven Strasburg because he did the same thing.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. And he was 5-0 in the postseason, which I don't know if that had been done before. Probably, but probably Sandy Koufax or somebody. And I don't know if he pitched five games. But he was 5-0. And that franchise really had never had nothing but disappointments until that guy came through for him.
As the Raptors had, remember all the game one losses that the Raptors had series after series? And then Kawhi, it was different. He made it different.
Yeah, and that's why I don't have a problem. Do we have more of the other people on the list? Because I just
no,
gave
like
up
yesterday,
those
I looked for our final vote totals, and of course, only AP releases this, and they didn't give final vote totals. They did say in the Male Athlete of the Year that it was more than double the votes for Kawhi Leonard over anybody else.
Oh, okay. So
it was probably the AP managing editor, Uncle Dennis.
Oh, stop.
Doc,
look at you.
And
Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Lakers.
Those were the voting committee. No, I mean, you know, it is, you know, up for debate. I mean, because, you know, it seems like it's almost as secretive as the Heisman votes or something.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have any sort of results. And
see, that's what I love about the Baseball Hall of Fame. And, you know, I'm a voter, and my ballot's in now, but the vote, you have to have your ballot in by the 31st. And it's public. It becomes public knowledge as far as what percentage you got, you know, the number of votes and all that. And I think that's important that people know.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Right?
And it's that way with the NFL awards, too. We find out this guy got 46 out of 50 votes or whatever the number
exactly.
is.
Exactly. I think that's important. You just want it to be transparent so people know what's going on.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Former Dolphin players are coming after Bill Belichick because, you know, the undefeated team, unlike the Patriots, who, of course, lost to Eli Manning, right, in the Super Bowl, they did the whole thing, undefeated regular season, won a championship, and they, like, Bill Belichick ain't better than Don Shula, who did it the right way, won suspended for cheating and all the other stuff. And I'm kind of siding with the former Dolphin players from this standpoint.
The get off my lawn 72 Dolphins?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I am. And they have a right to sound like the old man.
Say you know, hey, you damn kids, get off my lawn!
That's all right. They have that right. And you know why? Because when you talk about the greatest of all time, you should nitpick. It shouldn't just be about winning, but how did you win? Was it clean? He got fined $500,000, the largest fine of any coach in the history of the NFL. That's a demerit. That goes against your record.
It goes against.
And Don Shula was a great coach and doesn't have any of that. So I don't have a problem with the former Dolphins, the 72 Dolphins, pushing back and saying, you know, this year is the 100th anniversary of the NFL, so they have all these lists coming out, the greatest 100 players, and and the greatest coaches. And, you know, Bill Belichick has 6 championships, so it's easy to say he's the greatest coach who ever coached. It's easy.
But these lists, Rob, I mean, it's not going to change history. It's all about whoever voted for these lists and categories. It's all their opinions. I mean, so, okay, if they have a problem with Belichick closing in on Shula's all-time win record or whatever, what is he supposed to do now? Like, yeah, you know, I did get busted, you know, kind of cheating a few times.
No, but it's not
like,
that.
Should I stop winning? I mean, no. So you can't take away from everything that he's been able to do.
Nobody's taken away, yeah. But when you go and you give out and you start talking about the greatest of all time, you can't have it both ways. You don't want to acknowledge Barry Bonds
as the
greatest.
I was about to say, you feel like that's the same sort of
category?
Like, you know, is it like a player taking steroids?
But I'm saying,
I mean, because it was a form of cheating, even though it wasn't illegal at the time.
Exactly, but they hold it against him is my point, but they don't hold it against Bill Belichick.
It should be held against him. Absolutely.
So that's why I think the Dolphin players are right.
I mean, but every time somebody's undefeated and you reach week 12 or something, here come these Dolphins hating. It's like, oh, we don't want it to be broken. We don't want it to be tarnished. And we want to be the last perfect team. And even though they only went 12-0, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's all the games that were on the schedule. How are you going to hold that against them?
I'm not holding it against them, but I'm just saying it's a little tougher to complete a 16-week schedule undefeated and continue on to win a Super Bowl. I mean, the Patriots were the last one to come close.
Well, they were 18-0. They lost.
Yeah, they lost. Yeah.
But Belichick, this is the problem. And this is the problem I have with, like, the football writers and whatnot. It's a totally different – baseball gets totally – you know, guys, every year, if you want to Google it, 12, 15 players every year get busted for HGH steroid use. And, yeah, nobody even bats an eye, do they?
Yeah.
Nothing.
No.
Like nothing happened. Oh, well.
Like nothing happened.
Gets back on the team, gets suspended for 4-game comeback, and like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Baseball's like, oh, no, we can't vote for him. He's a cheater. He's done this. He's done that. It's mind-boggling.
It is.
And in the case of Bill Belichick, when guys do something wrong, announcers, they bring it up. I remember when Michael Vick came back. They were compelled every single time they mentioned Michael Vick. Well, you know, he had the dog fighting thing, right?
Right.
Every single time. Bill Belichick, they talk about in glowing terms. They never bring up that he was fined, the largest fine in history, like it never happened.
So where do you put him? It's like, you know,
he can't be to
like
me
all of these guys that are, you know, were steroid takers or accused to be steroid takers. Like, where do you put them?
Well, my thing is there are other coaches who don't have that on their record who were great, like a Don Shula. Like a Vince Lombardi. So there are other guys.
Yeah.
So I couldn't in good conscience put Bill Belichick, because I don't even know what the backstory. You know what? So at some point I've always said this. Someone's gonna write a book about all the shenanigans, you know, during the Bill Belichick era. And air out all the dirty laundry, and it's not going to be a pretty picture.
I mean, but
you had the Deflategate. You just had so many situations.
There were great coaches. I mean, you can go down the list, and it's just all what the criteria is. Is it multiple Super Bowl winning coaches? I mean, because you could throw Mike Tomlin in there for that. But I mean, from Chuck Knox to Bill Walsh to even George Seifert won a Super Bowl. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. Jimmy Johnson won a Super Bowl. So it's not about Super Bowl wins. If it's not about that, then how else do you rank it? Because you mentioned Vince Lombardi. And I mean, you go back to some of the older coaches. And so, like, I mean, Tom Landry. So, I mean, the list goes on and on and on, Rob. So, like, can you have a list that doesn't include a 6-time Super Bowl winning coach?
I'm not saying he doesn't have to be.
You have a Hall of Fame that doesn't have the all-time hits leader or the all-time home run king.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, so, I mean, like,
because why? He did something. He broke a cardinal law in baseball, right, about gambling on the sport.
Yeah, but is it a cardinal law about or a cardinal rule?
Cardinal rule.
Yeah, a cardinal rule about, you know, did he break a rule with Spygate? with Bill Belichick, or he didn't break any rules because it never has been done before. So, like, I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, how do you want to include this list and what does this list mean? I mean, from a historical standpoint, 100 years from now, they're going to look at the first 100 years of the NFL and, okay, these were the all-time greats. Now they've moved on. So from that standpoint, yes, it means something. But if he's not on this list, I'm sure Bill Belichick is not going to miss any nights of sleep, Rob.
Really? You don't think that this would
matter? I don't think so.
He's going to be on the list. I'm just saying.
He's going to be on the list, and he might be the top one, just like Tom Brady was on the list of all-time quarterbacks. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't he involved in a few, you know, deflate
games? He got suspended for four games.
Okay. So, I mean, so clearly right there, he's going to be on the list, and the 72 Dolphins and whoever else that played for Don Shula is going to have a problem with it.
So what about you? Where are you if you had a vote and you had to pick Vince Lombardi, which was a different football NFL, we got to admit that, right?
Yeah.
Or Don Shula or Bill Belichick. Where would you, as the greatest coach in NFL history?
Wow. That's tough. I think because I know the history behind Vince Lombardi and where he came from and how he arrived in Green Bay. And, I mean, come on, trying to convince anybody to come to Green Bay as a free agent, they didn't have free agency back then, but just trying to convince players, period, to want to come to Green Bay and Wisconsin and play football in the winter, I'm sure that had to be tough. And then once you got them there, you know, what type of caliber of players were you getting?
Right.
I mean, all the
what
players
kind of life is there for you, right?
Yeah, all the players that didn't want to go to the major cities, you know, may have ended up in Green Bay. So, That's a tough one because what Bill Belichick has been able to do and his coaching style, it hasn't changed. He still teaches the fundamentals of just run, block, and tackle. And, you know, and that seems to have worked for 6 Super Bowl wins. And if I'm not mistaken, he's lost 2. He's lost 2 Super Bowls, right?
What are they? I think it's 6-2. Well, they lost to Philly. And what was the other one? How come I'm drawing a blank? There's another one.
Yeah. So, the Giants.
And they lost to the Giants twice.
Lost to the Giants twice.
So,
yeah.
Right. He lost 3 times.
Yeah.
Right, because they've been there 9. So, 6-3.
So, I mean, but, like, just a, you know, you go to Foxborough. I mean, when he got there, they were terrible. No one wanted to go to New England when he got there. And so, and it was crazy how he even got there. Didn't he have the Jets job for a day and then changed his mind and went to New England? So
here's a columnist at the Palm Beach Post who wrote a column basically saying, here's the headline is, Bill Belichick will never be in the same class as Don Shula, no matter how many games he wins. And his main point, his name is Hal Habib.
Yeah,
right?
It looks like Habib.
Habib.
Yes.
Hal Habib. He wrote this column for the Palm Beach Post. And his big point here is in the name of integrity, honesty, valor, and class. Let's be honest. Bill Belichick is a coaching genius, blah, blah, blah. But he said a disciplinarian whose teams are never unprepared, a man who gets most out of what he has, cold, crusty, and crabby. And he says Don Shula in his prime was all of that. But the big difference was the cheating scandal. And that's why he would take Don Shula over Bill Belichick every time.
And our man Hal writes for who again?
The Palm Beach Post. I know.
And what state is that in?
Florida.
Oh, okay.
It's right outside Miami. What are you trying to say? He's just a homer?
Nothing. No, no. I'm just saying.
He's not biased at all.
He's not biased at all. I just, you know, because I'm sure he didn't write an article and saying that Marino should have been one of the top quarterbacks besides Tom Brady because he didn't cheat. I mean, come on. The only thing missing with Marino are the Super Bowls.
No doubt about it. Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.